Amen. Well, we are continuing our series this morning, Hidden Heroes of the Faith. If you would like to follow along on our app, you can find an outline there that has some fill-in-the-blanks there and those kind of things. The verses we're going to be talking about will be on there. And so if you go on our app and you go to our media and then message notes, you'll find today's date and you'll find an outline there if that would help you. As we mentioned last week, we read of great men and women in the Word of God, men and women like Moses and Abraham, Rahab and Sarah. They're incredible stories that many of us grew up in glory and we are familiar with them. This chapter 11, and there's this long list of names and stories that we're familiar with that we call the heroes of the faith. Yet on the pages of Scripture, we see others who are slightly less well known, but also used mightily of God because of their faithfulness. They are still heroes of the faith, just hidden from the spotlight. And so we're kind of redefining a little bit too of what we mean by a hero or someone who's heroic. We think of this great conquering champion. But really a hero of the faith is merely someone that boldly claims to trust and believe God at his word and act upon those beliefs. To be faithful even in the midst of confusion or lack of understanding. To believe that God's word is true. And if God calls us, then God will equip us and God will use us for his glory. And so our goal in this series, we started last week, and if you missed the first week, I encourage you to go back and watch it again. But our goal in this series is to see how small moments of faithfulness can lead to a big impact for the Lord. Small moments of faithfulness can lead to big impacts for the Lord. We think kind of the opposite. We think if I'm going to be used of the Lord, I got to do this big, grand thing. I got to be so well known. I got to have all the followers. I got to have all the influence. I got to have all the position and the platform. Now, God does put people in positions of influence, maybe greater than others. Professional athletes. We're coming up on home plate here just this next weekend, which is where we're going to hear from Tigers players and the opposing team players. And if you're a part of home plate and you go down to the ballpark, you're going to hear testimonies. And God has put those athletes in a position where they can use their platform to share Christ. That's amazing. But it's not the big things, the big stage, the big moments that we should be focusing on. I truly believe the vast amount of our Christian life is going to be spent in recognizing those small moments of faithfulness, acting in those small moments. Now, you may be sitting there thinking, well, that sounds great, Pastor, but I've already blown it. I've already missed those opportunities. I've already messed up too many times. There's no such thing with God. If you have breath in your lungs, you can repent. You can turn back to him. You can say, sorry, Lord, I know I missed that. Give me opportunities to make an investment for you. And God, by his grace, will strengthen you and restore you and draw you close to him. Maybe you missed that opportunity that God gave you to be faithful last week and to share that word of faith or to act upon that idea of faith, that belief of faith. But God is not done. God is continuing to work, and if we will just turn to him and set our eyes upon him, he will use us in the little things to make big impacts for his glory. So I want to share some characteristics to begin that the Bible states about today's hero. And I want to see if we can guess how the Lord might have used him to make an impact for God. So I want to give you what the Bible says about this individual, and then we try to think about how would God have used that person in what position or what calling. Well, the Bible says this man was of the tribe of the Lord. This man was filled with the Spirit of God. This man was filled with wisdom and understanding and knowledge. Let's pause there. If that's how the Bible recorded you or recorded I, we would be overwhelmed. We'd be so thankful if that was our testimony. Full of the Holy Spirit, chosen of the Lord, with wisdom and understanding and knowledge. And that's how this man is described. And so how would God have used this man? What calling would God have placed on this man's life? Now, many of us would assume maybe a prophet. Maybe he spoke on behalf of the word of the Lord. Maybe a king who ruled and was such a great example of grace and mercy to those he ruled over. Maybe he was a priest, used mightily in the service of the Lord. If you, like many, guess something like that, they would be good guesses, you'd be in good company, but you would be wrong. These callings, while amazing, was not the calling of our hidden hero. I want to dive into our text and discover who this man was and what the calling of the Lord was for his life. So Exodus chapter 31. Exodus chapter 31. If you don't have a copy of God's word, either in print or on your device, you can find a copy of God's word there in the seats around you. You're welcome to grab one of those Bibles and open up to Exodus 31. If you're using one of the Bibles provided, you can just turn to page 67. Page 67. So if you're using one of the Bibles provided, page 67, Exodus 31, we find ourselves in the very, very early part of the Word of God. And we find as you study and read the book of Exodus, there's so many amazing things that God does in and through the lives of his people. Exodus contains the great accounts of the work of Moses and all that God used him for. We are introduced to Joshua in this book. There's so many amazing things that God does. He gives his law, what we call the Ten Commandments, in this book. And here we come upon chapter 31. Look at verse 1 with me, if you will. We're going to read through verse 5. So Exodus 31 and verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. Verse 4, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass, and in cutting of stones, to set them in the carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. This is not the calling of a priest or a prophet or a king. This is the calling of a workman, of a craftsman. And it's amazing that this is recorded for us. Now, I know Pastor Greg prayed, but I'm going to ask that we would pray and the Holy Spirit would give us wisdom in how we can apply this to our lives. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask that you would give us wisdom and guidance, that we too would be full of wisdom and knowledge and understanding by your Spirit. And we thank you, Lord, that in Christ we have the Spirit of God given to us. We have been chosen of the Lord. We've been called and equipped and put in a position to serve. We have all that we could ever need. And so, Father, I pray that as we talk around and about this life of Bezalel and just the influence and the way in which you used him and many others, I pray that we'd be encouraged to apply this to our lives today and to see how while some might be called to a different position or a different vocation, our calling in Christ remains for your glory and for your honor. And so, Father, again, may you be glorified in all that has been and will be said and done. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The small moment of faithfulness that we're looking at this morning is revealed in a faithful workman. A faithful workman. This faithful workman was filled with the Spirit. We see that in verse 2. Now, if you're not familiar with things about the tabernacle, and we don't have time to go through all the details and all the objects of worship in the tabernacle, but this individual is being called to oversee that work. This is a huge task. The tabernacle is the predecessor, if you will, to the temple that arrives in Jerusalem, that is built, rather, in Jerusalem. The tabernacle is what they used when they were wandering. As they were kind of a nomadic people, they would travel from place to place, and they would put up the tabernacle and take down the tabernacle. And Bezalel is going to be over, not only the overseeing the entire project, but he specifically is going to be working with the detail work and helping equip others to do the detail work, including the creation of the Ark of the Covenant. This is a huge undertaking. But this man, Bezalel, full of the Spirit, worked with what he was given. He worked with what he was given. The Lord equipped him with every resource he would need to do the work he was called to do. To read that he was filled with the Spirit, considering the Old Testament understanding of the Spirit's filling being more of a rare occurrence than what we're familiar with in the New Testament, that the Spirit was given in the Old Testament for a specific task, a specific purpose, usually given to the prophet, a priest, or a king. Someone that was given the Spirit to do a work or to do a task for the Lord. And we see here that God chose this man, Bezalel, to have the Spirit to do the work. I love what John Gill points out in his commentary. John Gill says this, and this was not an ordinary, but an extraordinary gift of knowledge of these things. So he was given the Spirit, given the knowledge, given the wisdom that he would know how to do what he needs to do. John Gill continues, nor was it owing to a faithful invention, nor to long study and contrivance, but it was by the immediate inspiration of the Spirit of God. Bezalel did not study on how to work in these materials and how to be this craftsman. He was given that knowledge by God. He was gifted with that information. He was an ordinary man chosen of God to do an extraordinary work, not as a priest or prophet, but as a craftsman. And that's not a plug for the tool brand. I don't mean the brand. I mean a workman. But if you want to invest in craftsmen, and I get a little bit of the kickback, I'm fine with that. So often, Christians in general think that if we are just a teacher, or just a nurse, or just a farmer, or just a receptionist, if I'm just one of those positions, I'm not really as needed to the work of the Lord as those missionaries, as those pastors, as those church leaders. I'm just a receptionist. I'm just a teacher. Nothing can be farther from the truth. Bezalel was a simple craftsman that had great artistic abilities given to him by the Lord. And God specifically chose him to oversee the building of the various elements of the tabernacle, again, including the Ark of the Covenant. You see, he worked with what he was given, and he did it faithfully where he was positioned by the Lord. Not only did he work with what he was given, but he worked with others. He worked with others. Look at verse 6. And I, behold, I have given him Eliahib, the son of Ahinamech, of the tribe of Dan, and in the hearts of all that are wise, here's the key, all that are wise-hearted, I have put wisdom that they may make all that I have commanded thee. So I want to look at that second part again. He says, I have given him Eliahib, and he talks about this idea that he's given him to him. What, and who else has he given? He says, and I've given him in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put wisdom that they may make all that I have commanded them. You see, Bezalel did not do this work alone. He didn't do this project alone, as none of us today could do what God has called us to do alone. He was given Eliahib, who was also given the knowledge from the Lord. And Bezalel was to be a teacher and a guide to him and to others. I love how the ESV translates verse 6 when it says this. And I have given to all able men ability that they may make all that I have commanded them. All throughout Scripture we see a theme of God's people working together to accomplish the purposes of God. I love the example of Jesus sending out the 72 disciples in Luke chapter 10 to announce his coming, to preach that the kingdom is at hand. What's amazing is he doesn't send them out alone, but in pairs. When Paul is called to do his great mission work in the book of Acts, he is not called alone, but he is called with Barnabas. Silas and Barnabas takes John the apostle, while seeing familiar is Mark of the Gospel of Mark. Even John the Apostle, while seemingly alone on the island of Patmos, recognized the church at Ephesus in how they met his needs and provided for his daily needs. We see all throughout Scripture that God does not call us to do the work of the Lord alone. God has given us his Spirit within. He has given us his word before us. And he has planted us in a church around us to do what he has called us to do. Bezalel could never have done what he was called to do by himself. And God knew that and never expected him to, but gave him the ability and gave him kind of like a co-teacher, that they together would equip and teach and share with other men who are coming along to do this work. So he was just a faithful workman, just doing simply what he was called to do. You see, a faithful workman, like our story reveals to us, I believe can be applied to us. when we see that a faithful workman today does not need to be ashamed, but rightly living the purposes of God. We can see in whatever field you're in, wherever area of life you're in, whatever you're going through right now, wherever God has planted you, there is a purpose there for God's glory. You see, we can rightly live the purposes of God. This means wherever God has placed you, you have a purpose. That's pretty amazing. Because if you're being honest with yourself, there's days you didn't feel like you had a purpose in what you were doing. I know that's true because there's days I sit at my desk and I battle with that feeling of, what's the purpose behind this? Like, why are we doing this? What's the point of all this? Maybe you've sat at your desk or you've driven in your car to work or you've been tired after a crazy long week and you're sitting at home and you're like, what's the point of all this? Like, why? Why go to work? Just to put money in the bank account? There's got to be more to it than that. And I believe that as followers of Christ, we can see that wherever God has put us, we can rightly live the purposes of God in that area. You see, we do not need to feel like we're less than because we work as a janitor or as a pastor or as a full-time missionary or as a stay-at-home mom, whatever it is. So many people think, well, yeah, but I'm not like that. Pastors, you guys, man, you're closer to God. I've had people tell me that. You're closer to God than I am. That's not true. And we're all in Christ, growing and learning and pursuing him. So it doesn't matter what field you're in, where God has planted you. What matters is, what are you doing in that area of your life? How are you glorifying God? The truth is, we need Christians in every field of work. From artists and musicians to lawyers and contractors. If you are in Christ, you are an ambassador for Christ. No matter what, while you're there, are you looking for the glory of the Lord? The Bible says, we don't work as unto men, we work as unto the Lord. And so if you have clients that you serve, do you serve them not because of what you can get from them, but because you want to invest in them so that they would come to know Christ one day? I love what Matthew Henry says in regards to our work for the Lord. He says this, the honor which comes from God is always attended with a work to be done. To be employed for God is high honor. Those whom God calls to any service, he will find or make fit for it. The Lord gives different gifts to different persons. Let each mind his proper work, diligently remembering that whatever wisdom anyone possesses, the Lord put it in the heart to do his commandments. If you work in a job where it's very mentally tasking, it's not a physically demanding job, but there is a lot of mental work you do. You didn't come up with that on your own. God gave you that ability. If you work in a field where it's a very physically demanding job, that strength that you're using was not yours in its origin. God gave that to you. And so if he gave us the breath in our lungs, the mind that we have, the physical strength that we have, then whatever we do with our bodies are for his glory. You see, in Christ, we are the same. I have a different calling, a different vocation than you, but I'm not closer to the Lord. I'm not closer to Christ because I happen to serve as a pastor and you work in a different field. We have the same spirit. And we're all, according to God's word, one in Christ. And so we rightly live the purposes of God. I want to go to one more passage, if we might. 2 Timothy chapter 2. All the way over in the New Testament. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Familiar verse, but I'd like to present it maybe with a little bit of a different application. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 15. I love, and I say this often, but I love hearing the pages of God's word turn in church. It's so amazing to know that this is the source of what we believe. This is why we believe what we believe. If you came to hear my opinion or my thoughts, you're going to be discouraged and disappointed. But if we came to gather around God's word, we will always be strengthened and encouraged. And so 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Paul, the Apostle Paul, writing here to Timothy, who serves as a pastor, the church of Ephesus, And so as he's serving, Paul's writing this final letter to Timothy. This is some of the last words that Paul wrote before he was martyred for his faith. And he writes this in chapter 2, verse 15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Study to show thyself approved unto God. Not only do we rightly live out the purposes of God as we see ourselves as that faithful workman in Christ, but also we are ready to present ourselves to the Lord. We are ready to present ourselves to the Lord, or as the King James would say, to show ourselves to the Lord. Now, we are called to work in such a way that we will not be ashamed before the Lord in our work. Now, this approval here in verse 15 is not connected to salvation. That is a settled matter in Christ, in the cross. But regarding our daily lives in this world for Christ and how we build upon the foundation of Christ. And again, as a reference, 1 Corinthians 3:10, Paul says we should always be aware of how we build upon the foundation of Christ. So as a Christian, that foundation has been laid in our lives. We are a follower of Christ. And now as we live our daily lives, in whatever we find ourselves doing, we're building upon that foundation. We're building our lives upon that foundation. We're investing in others. And there is, the Bible says, that work that we're doing for the Lord will be rewarded one day when we stand before Christ. And now I don't understand all the details of the rewards and how God is going to disperse them and all of that. There's much, much written on this. And I don't know if I know enough about it to speak to it in regards to the details. I think there's a lot that we're just going to have to find out when we get there. But amen, in Christ, we'll get there. Amen. Some, you know, we'll have crowns given to us and then we'll cast those crowns at his feet. What kind of crowns? How do they look? I don't know the details on that. But the Bible is clear that the things we do for Christ will be rewarded, not so that we're glorified, but so that the Father is glorified. Because the only way I'm even before the throne to cast the crown at his feet is because Jesus Christ bled on the cross, was buried, and rose again. And then by accepting that, I have now been gifted eternal life, that I can now stand before God one day. And as we've already established, if I share my faith with someone, sons shared that they were able to lead a couple classmates to Christ in Emily City at the school there. And that young man was able to share at prayer breakfast yesterday that he was able to see two of his friends come to Christ. That's amazing. That's amazing. And so as he was sharing his, by the way, out on recess, so that's amazing. Talk about simplicity of faith. This young man was just bold and just said, you know, I'm just going to share Christ with my friends. Doesn't matter who's around. And someone said it yesterday as we were praying. They said, you know, some of the young people that share their faith put us older people to shame. Because we're so concerned about what people around us are thinking. This young man said, I could care less. All he cared about was getting his friends to Jesus. What did we say even on last Sunday? Just get them to Jesus. Right? Just get them to Jesus and God will make a change in their life. And so here we see these stories, you hear these things about people sharing their faith, and maybe you've been had an opportunity at work to share your faith or to start a Bible study or maybe a prayer group before work starts and you get some coworkers together and you're just praying for God to give you wisdom that day or to be with a situation at your company or whatever it might be. All of those things that you're doing for Christ, the Bible says one day we'll be rewarded for those things. But you didn't say that with breath that you created. You didn't share your faith because you thought it was a good idea. You shared your faith because the Holy Spirit gave you the ability to share your faith. So how gracious is God that we will stand before him one day, just thankful to be in his presence and not be condemned, but just be ushered in as sons and daughters by grace alone, through faith alone. And then he says, on top of that, I have rewards for you for the things you did for me. This makes perfect sense then why we will cast every single one of those crowns back at his feet because we didn't do anything. All we were called to do is just be a faithful worker. Just be faithful. And if you stumbled in your faith and you've gotten off track and you've gotten apathetic or you've stumbled into some sin situation, repent of that. Turn from that. Trust again in Christ. Not for salvation, that's settled, but in that intimate walk with Christ that can be renewed by grace. You see, Paul's writing here to Timothy, who is a pastor of a church, and yes, encouraging him to handle the word of God in such a way as not to be ashamed before the Lord when he stands before the Lord. However, I believe this encouragement applies in application to all of us as we live for Christ in whatever profession we may be employed. I think of Acts chapter 17, I think of the Bereans, who are noted very shortly in Acts 17, but very vitally noted as people that heard the message of the gospel from Paul, would not believe initially until they got in God's word and said, we need to investigate this in God's word. We need to know, is that really what God's word says about who the Messiah will be? We're gonna do some study on this. They studied the word of God. Just a group of Bereans. We don't know anything about them other than this group would not accept the gospel until they made sure Paul wasn't lying to them and it agreed with God's word. We don't read that they were pastors and missionaries and deacons and church leaders. They were just individuals that wanted to know, what does God's word actually say before I put my faith in this Jesus? You see, these were ordinary people desiring to know God's word deeply. I love the Gopher Buddies model, digging deeper in God's word. Man, if that's the foundation, like just play that out in your mind 20 years down the road. This 4- and 5-year-old is now 24 and 25, and our culture is doing what our culture does, completely off track from God, completely off track from the right way of thinking. And this 24-year-old is like, I don't know, A or B in my life. I don't know which way to turn. I'm a follower of Christ and I want to trust Christ. So where do I go for wisdom? Oh, I know. I'll dig deeper in God's word. And all of a sudden they find the treasure trove of God's wisdom and direction. Man, the foundations that can be laid, those small moments of faithfulness can make huge impacts for God. We need to understand that one day we will stand before the Lord. But today we're before the Lord. Right now, today, we live it to our spiritual life, or do we see a disconnect? Do you put Monday through Friday in one box, Saturday, that's your time, that's in another box, and Sunday's the Lord's time? My employer gets Monday through Friday, but the rest of it's mine. I'll give the Lord 2 hours on Sunday morning. Or do we see our entire lives as a reflection of our walk with Christ? Maybe you're here and you don't see your work, whether you be employed in an actual profession or a stay-at-home mom, which is a profession in and of itself. And all the stay-at-home moms said, amen. We used to joke, I'd come home for lunch when Sandra was staying home with the kids when they were younger. I'd come home for lunch and, you know, kids are kids at 2 and 3 and 4. And I would come in and I just saw the craziness that was my kids. And, you know, I'd be like, well, I'm going back to the office. And she's like, take me with you. Please, take me with you. She'd always say, do you want to change positions for the afternoon? I said, not even a little bit. Not even. Nope. You're doing a great job, honey. Thanks for all you do. I'll see you in 3 hours. But wherever it might be, whether it's employment, like when we think of employment, or whether it be a stay-at-home mom who's, by the way, investing and discipling and nurturing and training up your children. What a profession. What a blessed opportunity that is to make a difference in your child's lives. Whatever the work is, it's not so much the work that we need to focus on, although the work is important and it's of the Lord and it's good. But maybe you feel like you don't see your work as work that really matters. And maybe you don't think he can use you where you are currently. The truth is, the Lord knows what he is doing and he has gifted you for exactly what we need, what you need, exactly when you need it. And he has planted you where you are for his glory to bear fruit. So do we approach every day when we get to work as an opportunity to glorify the Lord? Do we see our job as a blessing from the Lord, whatever the job may be, temporary, long-term, whether it's something we do for a short time, it's our career? Do we see where God has planted us right now in the workplace or school or in our home as an opportunity to be a hero of the faith, boasting in the grace of the Lord? Maybe here this morning you'd say, well, preacher, you've hit on a lot of different things. I've tried to be very careful to just mention as many as I can think of. But you haven't said anything about us retired people. So I really appreciate that. Thank you for leaving us alone. We're fine. Buckle up. Man, when I think about the fact that there's so many that have shared with me when they retired from their career, their profession, they had all these grand ideas and it's great to travel and all those things. But you realize you still have an area of influence, right? Well, I don't go to work anymore. I don't really do as much as I used to do. You have an area of influence. You have, if God has blessed you with them, grandchildren, maybe even great-grandchildren. And you can invest in that generation and invest in and through your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren to see generations. Time I checked, just because you're retired doesn't mean over time we can't do what we used to do. But that's okay. We can all pray. We can all spend time with the Lord and just faithfully and diligently being that workman. What if we treated prayer like work, if you will? Not as a chore or an obligation, but we were that diligent with it. We were that faithful to it. It was a craft, and we were just faithfully saying, I'm gonna continue to give myself to prayer. Instead of those maybe 15 or 20 minute prayers that fill our morning and then we don't really think of the Lord until we go to bed. But maybe we would spend diligent time with the Lord. My point is, wherever God has planted you, in whatever area of life, he can use you for his glory. When we do, when we see our jobs, our days in this way, we are living out the will of God for our lives as a faithful workman. And as Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 says, they will see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? As you begin to pray there where you are, and I don't know how the Lord might speak to you through this message this morning. Maybe you're here and you would think, well, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a missionary, I'm not a deacon, so how could God use me? Well, every day, God is ready and able to equip you, and he's already equipped you with what you need to be used of him. That we would be a faithful workman, rightly living out the purposes of God, ready to present ourselves before the Lord. Whatever it is that you do for a job, do you go there with an anticipation of God moving? Maybe you would say, yeah, but I don't like my job. I don't like my boss. This isn't a great situation. This is only temporary. I don't even really want to do this job right now. I understand all of that. And I understand it's difficult. But God doesn't give us a comforter because life is so comforting. God gives us a comfort. We're going to have people sin against us. We're going to be in situations that we don't really want to be in. We're going to work jobs we really don't want to work. And I find that in the Lord, we can either go to that job and grumble and complain, be bitter, mean-spirited towards those around us, or as followers of Christ, we can see it as a blessing that God has provided to us. We can see it as an opportunity, as a mission field to make a difference for the Lord. And we can go into that place of work for the students here. We can go into those hallways at our schools. And we can be a lighthouse to those around us. Instead of complaining about the job, be thankful for the job. Instead of complaining about the boss, we pray and serve the boss. And we just desire that people would see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. Because ultimately, that's why we're here. Lord, we're here to glorify you. So Father, would you give wisdom and application as only you can. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for choosing us in Christ. Thank you for equipping us with all that we need. Thank you for the word of God that directs us and guides us. Thank you for the church that we don't have to work alone, but we have those around us that we are working with towards these purposes. And again, the greatest of all of these is that you would be glorified. Father, be glorified now. Work as only you can, and we'll give you all the praise because you deserve it and so much more. Father, we ask if there's anyone here that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior. Lord, heaven is available to those who would call upon the name of the Lord. Salvation is to all who believe, but the key is that we must believe. So Lord, if there's anyone here who has not repented of their sins and trusted in Christ, I pray that they would make that decision today to believe that you died on the cross for their sins, was buried and rose again. And anyone who places their faith and trust in Christ, admitting that they've sinned and calling upon the name of the Lord, can and will be saved. Apart from any work that we do, but only because of what you did for us on the cross. And so Father, would you speak now? Holy Spirit, would you draw those to repentance that need to be saved? And again, work in all of this for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand to your feet this morning as we're led in a song of invitation? If you'd like to pray here at the altar, you're welcome to come. And maybe you want to come and pray and say, Lord, tomorrow morning, I want to walk into that office. I want to walk into that career. And I'm going to look at it as a mission field for you. Give me strength. Maybe you want to come and pray for an employee, a coworker, whatever it might be.